Take your Bibles, please. Turn to the book of Isaiah, chapter 50. Isaiah, chapter 50. We'll read verses 4 through 7 together, and we'll read this passage responsively. Isaiah, chapter 50, verses 4 through 7. Isaiah, chapter 50, verses 4 through 7. We'll begin reading on verse 4. The Lord God hath given me the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him that is weary. He waketh morning by morning. He waketh mine ear to hear as the learned. The Lord God hath opened mine ear, and I was not rebellious, neither turned away back. I gave my back to the smiters, and my cheeks to them that plucked off the hair. I hid not my face from shame and spitting. For the Lord God will help me. Therefore shall I not be confounded. Therefore have I set my face like a flint, and I know that I shall not be ashamed. I'll read yet one other verse. You need not turn there. Luke chapter 9, verse 51 reads, And it came to pass, when the time was come that he should be received up, he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem. And let's pray. Father, thank you so much for what you've done for us. Thank you for being a God that hears us, a God that answers us. And Father, I pray that you'd help us today. Be with our preacher. Fill him with your power. Thank you for giving our preacher back to us. Thank you that he has had a good vacation, a good rest. I pray that you'd fill him with your power today. Fill our ears with your power so that we would hear what you have for us, please. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated.
Brother Ord, is this morning your first service back since your surgery? We're sure glad to have Brother Ord back. I think five-way bypass surgery, and back in church, and there's a miracle right there. God spared his life, and we're sure glad to have Brother Ord back. As I said earlier, my family and I have been on vacation. We went to Gatlinburg, Tennessee, and while we were there, we visited Ripley's Believe It or Not Museum. And I didn't believe it. You talk about some weird things and a lot of strange things in Ripley's. There was this host while we were there. He prided himself in being able to stare at you without blinking his eyes or without flinching, no matter what you did. My wife and I, my son Joshua and his wife Corey, we were standing there getting ready to go in, and this host kept on staring. And he would just stare, and I'm sure it was very rewarding to him. My wife tried to stare back at him, and then she had to look down, and then Corey tried to stare back at him, and she had to look down, and I didn't care to look at him at all personally. He wasn't so hot, but he would stare at you, and we joke with him a little bit and things, and he said, the lady said, oh, I can't do that. I just can't stare at somebody like that. I always have to look down, or I have to blink, or I have to look away. He said, I used to not be able to do it, he said, but I practiced it. And he said, I actually took some lessons. He said, I could teach you how you could look at something and stare at it and not take your eyes off of it. But it was an odd occurrence. And it's funny because I had been planning on preaching this sermon this morning. I call the sermon Flint-Faced Christians. Flint-Faced Christians. Let me read to you again from Isaiah chapter 50. The Bible says, Therefore shall I not be confounded, therefore have I set my face like a flint. That is referring in the Old Testament to Jesus Christ, and the day would come when he would be heading toward Calvary. When it was time for him to go to Calvary, he said, I set my face like flint toward Calvary. Then you get to Luke chapter 9 in the New Testament, and again it says he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem. Here the Bible's telling us that Jesus had determined that what he was going to do, he was going to do. and he had locked into it, locked onto it, and he was not going to be distracted. He was not going to be led aside. He was not going to allow the things to the right or to the left of him to frustrate or get him off track. He was going to Jerusalem. He was going to Calvary. He was going to the cross, and nobody nor anything would stop him. The Bible says he set his face like a flint. That meant Jesus had made a determination. It was right to go to Calvary, and there was no turning back for him. This meant that his eyes stared toward Jerusalem, and he locked onto it. I mean, like that fella at the Ripley's, believe it or not, he had locked himself. He'd take his eyes and he would fasten them on somebody. He wouldn't blink. He wouldn't flinch. You couldn't startle him. He had decided he was going to look at it and he was going to stare at it, and you wouldn't get him off track. And that's exactly what Jesus did. Jesus looked toward Jerusalem, and actually wasn't the city. What he was really looking toward was the will of God. And he knew that he was going to go to Calvary. He knew he needed to fasten his eyes and fasten his concentration and fasten his thoughts on the will of God for his life, and don't let anything distract him. It meant that his eyes stared toward Jerusalem and locked on to the will of God. It meant that his chin was aimed toward Jerusalem and locked down. His chin was ready to go forward. It meant his head was facing toward Jerusalem, and he locked on to that direction. The muscles in his face, his eyes, his chin. I mean, you ever seen somebody that they just decided, I'm going to do this, and they kind of look at it and say, here we go. And that's how Jesus was. He had decided, this is what I'm supposed to do. This is what I'm going to do. My eyes are going to lock onto it. My face is going to look toward it. My chin, I'm going to stick it out there. My mind is going to concentrate on it. And I, with resolve and with purpose, I am going to do what has to be done. The Bible says, like a flint. Now, what did it mean? It's like a piece of rock. It said, I'm going to do what I'm supposed to do, and that's not going to change. That is not going to change. What is right for me to do, I've decided to do, and like a rock, I'm not going to change the purpose that God's given me. Here, as we read the scripture, it says, you can spit in my face. But I'm locked into what I'm supposed to do, and I'm going to do it. Hey, you spit on me while I'm going forward, I'm still going forward. He said, you can try to shame my face. But I'm locked onto what God wants me to do. My eyes are locked in. My chin is like a compass. The arrow, my chin, is going right toward the cross, and you're not going to stop me. Our dog, her name is Pupcake. Pupcake is a rabbit hound, and she's a beagle. And I'm telling you, our dog, when she gets a scent in her nose, she won't listen to anybody or anything. I mean, when that dog catches scent of something, she takes out after it, and she's what I think they call it, scent blind and deaf. I mean, that dog, she if she goes after something, you don't stop her until she's done. I mean, you can yell at her, you can scream at her, it doesn't matter. She doesn't hear anything. Her nose was, it gets set like a flint, and she goes sniffing after whatever it is. You can't get her back. I mean, she doesn't hear you talk. She doesn't see anything. I mean, she takes out after it. That is a little bit what Jesus is describing here. He said, I know what I've got to do. I know what's got to be done. And he set his face like a flint to go to Calvary. Hey, it's a little bit like stink on a skunk. They're inseparable. And I mean, and here it is. You need to decide that there are some things that you've got to do and that are right to do. And you're going to set your face like a flint. You're going to lock your eyes onto them. You're going to lock your chin onto them. You're going to get blind to everything outside. And you're going to tear into this thing. And you're just going to get it done. Jesus said, my face is set like a flint. I'm going to Jerusalem. You're not going to stop me from going to Jerusalem. This wasn't proud, arrogance. This was determination. This was grit. This was resolve. Oh my, oh my, oh my, in America, we lack people with grit. We lack people with resolve. We lack people with determination. Now, the heart of Jesus was not like a flint. No, his heart was soft. His heart was not like stone. Oh, no, no, no. His heart was soft. But his determination was the determination and the power and the strength of a flint or a stone. He said, I am going to do what needs to be done. Now, some of you, there's a difference here. Some of you, you have hard hearts. That's not what we're talking about here. Some here have hard hearts toward doing right. I'm not trying to uplift people that are stubborn to the point of not doing right. You say, well, that's just the way I am. Well, change the way you are. Soften your heart toward God. But some of you, you need to become like a flint, like a rock about doing right, and say, you're not going to break me down. I'm like a rock. I'm going to do right. I'm going to do it. It's right to do. I'm going to lock onto it, and I will do right. You see, Jesus had a unique blend. He had a pliable, submissive spirit and heart, but at the same time, he was like a rock in his commitment to do right. Did you know that you could be like a rock about doing right and still be submissive and pliable to God, and he's the one for whom you are to do right? We live in a wishy-washy generation. Wishy-washy, weak-kneed, soft, low level of commitment. Anything that takes too much out of you, we don't want to do that. You know, we're more interested in what are all the benefits than we are in what's the work.
Right.
What do I get out of it? You know what we need in America? We need some more people asking the question, what do I get to put into it? What do I get to put into it? But we're soft. We want to know what's in it for me. How about what does somebody get out of you by being a part of it? When I was a teenager, we had there was a layman. His name was Doug. And Doug overseen the youth department of the church where I attended. And Doug, I don't know, I don't think Doug wrote this song, but Doug had a song that we sang. It was kind of a theme song for that handful of teenagers that went to that church. And I remember Doug teaching us teenagers a song. And it went like this. If the song went, I am determined, I've made up my mind, I'll serve the Lord. I am determined, I've made up my mind, I'll serve the Lord. I'll follow wherever He leadeth, I'll pasture wherever He feedeth, for I am determined, I've made up my mind, I'll serve the Lord. And we would sing it. We would sing it every week when the youth would get together. We'd sing, I am determined, I've made up my mind, I'll serve the Lord. There were times Doug was a state trooper. And there were times when Doug would say, sing it like you mean it. We'd sing, I am determined, I've made up my mind. He'd say, say that word determined with grit. We'd sing, I am determined, I've made up my mind, I'll serve the Lord. You know what some of you need to do? You need to become determined. You need to make up your mind. You need to set your face like a flint and say, I'm going to serve God. And I am not talking about an arrogance. I'm not talking about a self-sufficiency. But there's just some of you, you need to decide, He's my God. I'm going to serve Him. I am determining. I'm going to do it. I'll set my face like a flint. I don't care what happens to the right of me or to the left of me. I'm going to lock in. I'm going to get with it. And I'm going to serve God. That's just how it's going to be. You know, I was thinking the other day, I seen a Mack truck. On the front of that Mack truck had that bulldog hood ornament. And I thought, that's what some of you need. You need to become like that hood ornament of a Mack truck. You need to stick your chin out, say, I'm going to serve God. The Bible says Jesus set his face like a flint. I mean, if somebody's seen it, it virtually means Jesus looked toward Jerusalem and said, it's where I'm going. I'm sure he got his chest out there a little bit, pointed toward Jerusalem, and stuck his chin out, and just like the hood ornament of a Mack truck, said, that's where I'm going. That's what I'm going to do. some of you need to make the decision to become a flint-faced Christian. I'm not talking about having a hard heart now. I'm talking about being gentle and tender toward God and gentle and tender toward people. But I am telling you, some of you need to make up your mind and become determined like a flint-faced Christian that you're going to serve God. Oh, we live in a day where people again are soft and wishy-washy. We need some flint-faced Christians. We need someone that will set their face like a rock toward the things of God and decide to do right. We live in a day of uncommitted Christians. We need flint-faced Christians. We live in a day where people's determination is weak. We need some flint-faced Christians. We live in a day where Christians have a jelly backbone. We need some flint-faced Christians. We live in a day of passive Christianity. What we need are some flint-faced Christians. We live in a day of casual Christianity. And let me tell you something. Casual Christianity is going to end up turning out a bunch of casualties for the cause of Christ. We need some flint-faced Christians. We live in a day of emotional pettiness among God's people. What we need are some flint-faced Christians. We live in a day when Christians have little courage for the cause of Christ. But what we need are some flint-faced Christians. We live in a day where we retreat instead of have resolve to go forward. What we need are some flint-faced Christians. We live in a day of mildness among Christians. What we need are some people that will be like marble for the cause of Jesus Christ. We need some flint-faced Christians. We live in a day of softness when we need to get a little stone about ourselves and become flint-faced Christians. Christians today, let me tell you about what happens at a church. They're here today, gone tomorrow.
Right.
Here today, gone tomorrow. Well, I'll serve God for a little while, and then I'm going back out and do my own thing, and I'll stop back by the church in a few weeks, a few months, a year from now. Here today, gone tomorrow. That's not the kind of Christian I want to be. I want to be where I'm supposed to be, when I'm supposed to be there, the day that I determined it was right to be in church, I was going to be in church. And it wasn't always easy. Here today, gone tomorrow. We should have nerves of steel for our Lord, but we have nerves of straw. What we need are some flint-faced Christians. We need some Mount Rushmore Christians. Mount Rushmore, that mountain carved with the faces of what the world considers great men, and I'm sure they are great men, but let me tell you something. What I appreciate more than the man's face, I appreciate the fact that it's carved out of rock, and they're going somewhere, and they're strong. That's what we need in Christianity today. We need some flint-faced Christians. Some people like Jesus, where Jesus said, I'm determined. I've made up my mind. This is right. I'm going to do it. I'm not going to be sidetracked. Now, let me tell you this, though. I say, first of all, we need flint-faced Christians. But secondly, we need flint-faced Christians are going to face some testing. So, you know, you say, that's what I want to be. I want to be a flint-faced Christian, okay? Then you're going to find out whether you are actually a flint-faced Christian or not. Flint-faced Christians are going to be tested. You're going to be tested by the offers of this world. Satan offered Jesus the opportunity to become the king of this world. There was a time when Jesus was being tested and Satan came and he said, hey, listen, Satan said, Jesus, if you'll bow down and you'll serve me, then we'll let you be the God of this world. Well, I've got news for Satan, and Jesus already knew this. Jesus is the God of the universe. He didn't need Satan's permission to take over this world. But Satan came and tried to tempt Jesus and wanted to see, are you really a flint-faced Christian? Jesus said, I'm locking in to what I'm supposed to do. I'm going to set my face like a flint, like a rock, and I'm going to do what's right. Well, immediately, Satan comes along and Satan says, I've got something I want to offer you. Hey, be careful, Christian. About the time you determine, I'm going to do what God wants, I'm going to serve God God's way, Satan's going to come by and see if you really mean it. Do you really mean it? What will it be? Do you say, I'm going to serve God. That's what I want to do. Oh, and then Satan's going to come by and some job opportunity is going to come your way. And as a result of that job opportunity, you're not going to serve God because you won't have time. Or maybe it's a promotion at work. You used to be faithful to church, but you got your promotion. Now you're never in church. Well, I'm going to be a flint-faced Christian. Maybe it'll be fame. Maybe it'll be position. Maybe it'll be money. What is it? What is it that's going to come your way to test you about, are you really a flint-faced Christian? Are you really committed to God? Will it be the opposite sex? So I'm going to do right, and I want God to be pleased with my life. Well, then let me tell you something. Ladies, some man that you shouldn't be around and some man that you shouldn't spend time with, he's going to come around and try to win you. Why? Because there's been a time in your life when you made the decision to be a flint-faced Christian, and the devil's going to bring somebody of the opposite sex by to test whether or not you mean it. Going to test whether you're resolved about what you're supposed to do. Resolve about your relationship with the opposite sex, which ought to be clean and pure. You're going to be tested. If you say, I am going to be like Jesus Christ, and I think that's a good idea. I think we all ought to be like Jesus. We're going to set our face like a flint, but the minute that we do, we're going to be tested to see if that face is a face of stone, if you really mean it. Hey, flint-faced Christians will be tested by their so-called friends. Not only will Satan come and offer you the world, hey, you'll be tested by some of your friends. Do you know that Jesus and Peter were together before the crucifixion? Jesus has said, I'm going to Jerusalem. I'm going to the cross. I'm locked into it. I'm locked onto it. And Jesus said to the disciples, I've got to die. Peter said, oh, no. Peter said, no, that's not going to happen. And Jesus said, oh, yes, it is. Do you know something? Peter and Jesus were friends. But I'm glad that Jesus was not afraid to stand up to Peter and say, this is how it's going to be. You know what some of you need to do? You need to be willing to say to some of your so-called friends, no, I'm not going to do that wrong. No. I mean, you just flat out say, no, I'm not going to do that. Or, yes, I'm going to church. It's time for some of you to become flint-faced with some of your so-called friends and just take a stand for God. Hey, what is it? What is it that's going to test you? What is it that's going to come your way? Hey, some of you remember back when you said, I am determined. I've made up my mind. I'll serve the Lord. Some of you, you've already made that decision. You had decided that you were going to serve God and you were going to be faithful to God. And since then, what's happened? Was it the opportunity of the world? Did Satan come and say, look at all this that I'm going to offer you if you'll just back off of your service for God? And some of you, you went for it. You went for it. You do less for God now than what you've ever done before. You weren't so determined, were you? Hey, or will it be your friends that will pull you down? The disciples, I'll tell you, they admired Jesus Christ stand. They watched him. They watched him stand up to Peter, who was a part of the inner circle, and say, nope, I'm going to Jerusalem. I'm going to be crucified. We need to learn to stand up, even with those that are around us, those that are closest to us, and say, if it's right, it's right. If it's wrong, it's wrong. And I'm going to do right. And I'm not talking about arrogantly. I'm talking about you with a submissive heart toward God, deciding to do what's right. And then in a right fashion and in a right manner, even those around you saying, nope, I'm not doing that. That's wrong. I set my face like a flint on serving God, and that's what I'm going to do. Flint-faced Christians. Hey, flint-faced Christians will be tested by the negative influence of some of their peers. Listen, folks, let me tell you something. In this generation in our country, we're surrounded by quitters. Quitters. Quitters are everywhere. Hey, let me tell you something. You guys that are coaching baseball around here, you teach those boys not to be quitters. You play hard all the way down to the end. You give your best all the way to the end. Oh, quitters are a dime a dozen. Hey, people that Jesus ate with, they quit on him. People that Jesus had spent time with, they betrayed him. His disciples, many of them forsook him. Hey, the race of human that he created, many of them, they quit. They went on the wayside. But I am so glad that Jesus set his face like a flint. He said, okay. He said, the devil, he comes and he tests me and he tempts me with things and money and fame and wealth. He said, but I'm going to do what I'm supposed to do, and I'm not going to let that sidetrack me. Peter, one of the inner circle, came along, a very, very close friend, and said, it's not going to be that way. And Jesus said, yes, it is. I've made the decision. That's what I'm going to do. And then his peers, those around the outside edges of his relationship, many of them quit on him, but he didn't quit. And you can thank God Jesus didn't quit on the way to Calvary. You can thank God that he was flint faced for you. Why don't you become a flint faced Christian for him? He didn't let anything sidetrack him. He said, it's right to do. I'm going to do it. I'm going to lock my eyes on it. I'm going to lock my concentration on it. I'm going to set my chin like a flint. I'm going there, and I will not be stopped. And that's what he did. He didn't let his peers who quit cause him to quit. He didn't let the wealth and the fame of the world caused him to quit. He didn't let the so-called inner circle of friends get him down. Hey, listen, flint-faced Christians will be tested because it's so easy to quit. It's so easy not to be flint-faced. You know, quitting's easy. Anybody can do it. That's why it's so popular. Many people quit. I just quit. I don't want to do this anymore. I don't want to serve God anymore. I don't want to live right anymore. Hey, Pilate easily would have released Jesus if Jesus would have given in to Pilate's request. I mean, the people making the decision about the crucifixion of Christ, all Jesus would have had to do is say, I throw in the towel, I quit, and it would have been over. He wouldn't have had to been crucified. It was easier not to go to Calvary than to go to Calvary. But we live in a generation of Christians that don't want to do what's hard. We don't want to do what's hard. Jesus, while hanging on the cross, folks, do you realize Jesus could have called, you know, we've heard the songs, you've heard it preached. He could have called 10,000 angels. He could have done that. He could have called 10,000 angels. He could have been hanging on that cross after being crucified or beaten. He could have called 10,000 angels. He could have done what was easy, but he didn't. He didn't. He said, I've got to do what's hard. He looked back in his mind. He said, I was determined to get here. I was determined to die on the cross. I was determined to go through whatever I had to go through to please my God and to save mankind. He said, so whatever comes my way, I'm going to take it because I have set my face like a flint. Now, some of you need to toughen up a little bit. You need to toughen up. You need to stick your chin out. Lock your eyes on whatever needs to be done. Tear into it and get it done for the cause of Christ. Oh, but you'll be tested. Fame and wealth is going to come your way. You're going to have to say, no, I've set my face like a flint. Some of your closest companions are going to say, you don't want to sell out to God. And you're going to have to say, no, I've set my face like a flint for the cause of Christ. Some of you are going to find the negative influences of peers. They're going to forsake you. And they're going to want you to go along. And you need to say, no, I'm going to serve God. I decided a long time ago. I'm not turning back. I'm not going to get sidetracked. I've got to do this. You might find out that it gets hard because it's not easy. It's not easy to serve God in a wicked world like we serve God today. But you need to do it. Hey, Jesus very easily had the power to quit. He could have quit. He could have had all those angels to come and help him. But Jesus decided, I'm not going to do the easy thing. I'm going to do what's hard, and I need to do what's hard. And I am going to do it with the right attitude, and I will go on. You see, he had set his face like a flint. He had locked into what needed to be done. Hey, flint-faced Christians will be tested by the hardships of those people that mock them and tease them, by the way. You know, when Jesus was on the cross of Calvary, do you realize that the common people shouted, release Barabbas? Here's Jesus, the Son of God, hanging on a cross. He is dying for everybody in the crowd. And there are people in the crowd yelling, don't release Jesus, release Barabbas. Now, when you're rejected by people, picture it. The people he was dying for are the ones that were saying, crucify Jesus. But you know what? Jesus knew down inside himself. I'm dying for even the ones that are rejecting me. That's big league Christianity, isn't it? I'll be good to them even though they're stabbing me in the back, two-faced. I'll keep on going. Hey, I'll tell you something. You better stop and realize something. If you're going to serve God, you'll be teased. You'll be mocked. As one time or another, you're going to be stabbed in the back. It's going to happen. But you have to say, you know what? I decided I was going to serve God. I'm going to serve God. I locked my eyes on it. I put my chin out. I put my chest up. I'm going to serve God. Well, wonder if you get a chance to become famous and wealthy. I'm going to serve God. Well, wonder if your best friend doesn't want you to do it. I'm going to serve God. Well, wonder if your peers want to pull you aside. I'm going to serve God. Wonder if it gets tough. I'm going to serve God. Wonder if they mock you. I'm going to serve God. Wonder if they tease you. I'm going to serve God. I'm going to Jerusalem. I'm going to do what's right. I have set my face like a flint and I am going forward for God. The thief on the cross, you know what he said to Jesus? If thou be God, get us off this cross. Testing him. Jesus said, I've got to die. This guy said, we want to live. Don't you want to live? Jesus said, see, what the man on the cross didn't understand is Jesus had to die if they wanted to live. They wanted to do the easy thing. That was living. Tough thing was dying. But Jesus said, I'm dying. I'm dying. I'm doing this. I'm not going to change my mind. I'm not going to back out. I'm going to do the tough thing. The religious priest said, he says he's the king of the Jews. He says he's the king of the Jews. He was the king of the Jews. They mocked him. They belittled him. They teased him. They said at the cross, the spectator said, well, he called for Elias. Let's see if anybody will come and save him. Jesus wasn't calling for anybody to save him. Jesus was about to make it possible for everybody to be saved. But he had to do what was hard. Now listen, if you're going to be a Christian for any length of time at all. Now listen, once you're saved, you're always saved. But being a Christian, that means living for Christ. If you're going to live for Christ any length of time at all, you're going to have to get some toughness about you. You're just going to have to get a little backbone about you. You're going to have to stop and realize the devil's going to come. He's going to tempt you. He'll tempt you with good things or bad things. Anything to get you away from God. I mean, hey, the devil doesn't care on Sunday morning if you're out helping little old ladies across the street all Sunday morning. As long as you don't show up for church, that's all he cares about. He doesn't care what pulls you out of church as long as he pulls you out. He's going to come and he's going to tempt you with opportunity. He's going to try to get you away from God. There's some of you, you need to say, that's it. I've decided I'll serve God. I'll do what's right. I'm going to lock my face like a flint toward Jerusalem, the will of God, and I'm going to do it. If he tempts me, if my friends try to pull me away, if my peers try to pull me away, if it gets tough, I'm not going to let the devil get me away from serving God. If they mock me, if they tease me, I'm going to serve God anyway. I decided it's right to do, and therefore I am going to do it. Flint-faced Christians will be tested. They'll be tested. You'll be tested by the hardships of life. You know, Jesus was born poor. Will poverty keep you from serving God? Nowhere in the Bible does it say you have to have money to serve God. Serving God doesn't take money. I know people that use their poverty as an excuse. Well, I just don't have any money, can't serve God. I don't know where you learned that, but that's not in the Bible. I think some of the finest servants of God I've ever met are some of the poorest people. You'll find out many times most people can't control their money anyway. So people with money so many times don't serve God. Oh, you say, Brother Owens, I face hardship. Yes, indeed, and we all will. But let me say to you, my friend, if you're going to set your face like a flint and you're going to decide, I am going to serve God no matter what, then hardship in life should not stop you. Set your face like a flint. What hardship will cause you to get away from God? Hey, I'll tell you what. Some of you parents, a long time ago, you decided my kids need to be in Martinsburg Christian Academy. Okay, then make it happen. Well, that might be hard. Make it happen. Dig deep. Figure out a way.
Hey, listen, think of what Jesus Christ went through, but he decided, I'm going to do this. It's right to do. I'm going to do it, and I'm going to figure it out. Think of his captivity. Think of his imprisonment. But you know, all along while they were beating on him and mocking him and abusing him and teasing him, all along he had that chin out. He had his eyes fastened on the will of God. He said, no matter what you do, you can spit on me, you can beat me, you can mock me, you can strip me, you can humiliate me. I'm going to Calvary and I'm not going to be stopped. And there's some of you, you need to get some of that resolve and some of that kind of determination in your Christian life before you destroy yourself. Say, well, it's hard. Well, life gets tough sometimes, folks. You got to get tough. You got to get some of that stone about you and say, I'm going to do this. He went through a mock trial, but he kept going forward. He kept his faith set like a flint. Think of his death and what they put him through. But he was locked in on God. They spit in his face, but he was locked in on God. They whipped him, but he was locked in on God. They stripped him and humiliated him, but he was locked in on God. They plucked out his beard, but he was locked in. His face was set like a flint. He said, I will not be moved. That's it. I'm not changing. I'm not going back. I'm not going to quit. I'm going forward for God. Someone said, well, for you to go forward, it's going to be tough. He said, fine. Then I'll do what I've got to do if it's tough. Someone said, well, it might take a while. He said, fine. Then it'll take a while. But I'm going forward for God. I'm not going to take my eyes off of God's will for my life. Now, folks, the devil comes and he wants to knock you off track. They plucked his beard. They lied about him. They put nails in his hands. But he went to the cross anyway. Why? Because he had set his face like a flint. There's some of you, you need to lock in and throw the key to the padlock that locks you in away. Say, that's it. This is how it's going to be. And I'm not talking about arrogantly. I'm talking about with the help of God. But somebody here, you need to lock into what you're going to be for God and be it. And do it. And quit vacillating and quit. I'm going to try. Why don't you stop serving your God that way? Why don't you decide, God, I am going to serve you whatever the cost. I'm going to do this. What are we talking about? Flint-faced Christians? I'm doing this. And you may not go around doing this all the time. You may not look like the bulldog on the front of a Mack truck, but some of you in your spirit need to. Some of you deep down inside you need to make the spirit that's inside you determine that I'm going to do this. You see, we live in a wishy-washy day. It's hard. I'm sorry for you. Maybe if you'd like, we could all throw you a great big pity party and whine for you for a little while. Everybody that wants us to whine for them for a little while, would you raise your hand, please? Shall we all whine for you? It was tough. Has anybody here ever been through anything tough? You say, Brother Owens, don't you love me? Yeah, I love you. And people that love you won't pat you on the head every time they talk with you and rub your belly. Sometimes they'll kick you in the seat of the britches and say, get going! Don't lay there and whine away your life. It's tough on everybody from time to time. What do? You set your face like a flint and you say, I am going to do this and I'm going to do it and I'm not going to let the devil get me off track. He may hit me from the right. He may hit me from the left. He may kick me. He may spit on me. He may try to abuse me and mock me and tease me and lie about me. I'm serving God. I'm going forward. Paul Mungan, a perfect example of this. Brother Paul didn't have the best of health before he got sick many, many months ago. They came, gave him some medicine for a wound that he had. Ends up infecting both of his legs. Tried to figure out how to get rid of the infection. Went to this doctor, that doctor, traveled across the country. They finally said, we're going to have to amputate a foot. Then they said, we're going to have to amputate a leg. Then they said, we're going to have to amputate another foot. Then they said, we're going to have to amputate another leg. Well, let me tell you something. I watched Paul Mungan go through that for almost a year. But Paul Mungan's face was set like a flint. He said, you cut off anything you want to cut off, it's not going to stop me from serving God. I will keep on going. I'm not going to stop. And I didn't see it. It wasn't arrogant. It wasn't full of pride. And there he sits back there in his wheelchair today. Won't be long. They're going to get him some mechanical legs and he's going to be the Bionic Baptist. But he didn't quit. Was it easy? No. Was it easy on his dear wife? No. What a warrior. What a lady of support. Was it easy? No. No, it wasn't easy. But he kept going forward. His eyes were locked into the cause of Christ and the will of God for his life. And no matter what came, he kept on going. And that's what we need. We need some flint-faced Christians. We need flint-faced Christians. Flint-faced Christians will be tested, though. Remember it. It's easy to quit. Flint-faced Christians, they're gonna stop and realize the devil doesn't want you locked in. He wants to get your eyes off the purpose of God in your life. You say, what kind of areas am I going to be tested? Let me tell you of a couple of them and we'll be done. First of all, you better make sure that you understand something. I'm not talking about you in your own character and determination. I'm talking about your determination and character added to the grace of God and the mercy of God and the strength of God. The Bible says in Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. See, you can do it with God's help. I'm not trying to tell you you can do it on your own. When I went to school, I went to a public school and they taught a thing called PMA, positive mental attitude. They taught me if you think you can do it, you can do it. They're full of malarkey. I think you ought to have a positive mental attitude, but I think it ought to be a positive Bible mental attitude. If God says you can do it, you can do it. It has nothing to do with humanity. It's whatever God thinks you can do. Then if God thinks you can do it, then you can do it. But you ought to stop and say, with God's help, I'm going to lock into what's right to do, and I am going to do it. Some of you need to lock into the will of God for your life. Listen, if it's worth fighting for, then fight for it. You say, well, who am I going to fight? I'll tell you who most of you are going to have to fight for the will of God. You. You're the one that won't go forward. Devil's got you all psyched out. I can't go forward. I can't do this. Bible says I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Not I can't. If it's worth fighting for, then fight for it. I love that song. I shall not be moved. I shall not be moved. Just like a tree that's planted by the waters, I shall not be moved. Some of you need to lock in and decide, I'm going to serve God. Do the will of God for your life. Some of you need to be faithful to the house of God. Can I tell you something? Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night, everything under the sun is going to oppose you from coming to church. Phone's going to ring. Company's going to come over. You're going to find everything possible. If you're looking for an excuse to be unfaithful, it will be provided every time. Every time. The devil's just waiting to give you an excuse not to be faithful to God. And you ought to be in church. You say, Brother Owens, I'm not faithful to church because I'm embarrassed of my sin. You come anyway. You come anyway. I'm tired. Everybody's tired. Yeah, I got up late. Let me tell you something. Here's what I believe. You say, I have a hard time getting up in the morning. That's why I'm not here. Come late then. Come late. So I only get half the sermon. That's all anybody gets in around here anyway. They sleep through half and get half. Let me tell you, those of you that come in here late, you say, well, Brother Owens, I just decided to stay home because I was running behind. Come anyhow. You say, well, I would have been there when I was running behind. If your heart was really in coming, then you would come anyway. You'd come late. If all you get here for is the invitation time, it's worth seeing around here. You got to get determined about this thing. I'm determined about serving God. I'm determined about being at church. I'm stuck in a traffic jam. I'm only going to be there for 20 minutes of the sermon. If you wanted to come, then you come on in here and get you 20 minutes worth of the will of God. Living the Bible and obeying it. Some of you just need to get determined about it. The simplest of God's commands, like telling the truth, coming to church, tithing, loving one another. Say, I'm going to live according to the Bible. That's just what I'm going to do. You know, I don't stand up here and preach just because I can't think of anything else to do. I stand up here and preach so that you and I together can learn how God wants us to live. This is not God's book of suggestions. This is God's book of commands. And once we learn something from the Bible, we're supposed to live it. So how am I going to do that? It's hard. Lock into it. Say, I'm going to lock like my face like a flint. I'm going to lock into this thing, and I am going to learn to live according to the Bible. I'm going to live. I want God's will in my life. I'm going to be in God's house. I'm going to live the commands of God. Some of you need to decide to pray. Stop playing around with your prayer life and pray. There are people that say to me, oh, I want this. I'm talking about some good things. If I came to you today and I said, how many of you, there's something that you want in your life. It's good. It's wholesome. It's decent. It's in the will of God. There'd be many of you. You'd raise your hand and say, I want that. And then I would say, how many of you really want it? Really bad. You really, really want that in your life. And it's something that God would have you to have. There'd be many of you say, oh, I really believe God wants me to have it. And I really want it. And I want it for the right purpose. Let me ask you a question then. Have you prayed for it? I'm not talking about you prayed one time. I'm talking about how much did you pray for it? Let's just be honest for a second. What is it that you say, I really want it? How much did you pray? Have you at all? Or did you just go around talking about it? You made it as a prayer request for somebody else. You know what some of you need to do? You need to lock in. What is it that God wants for you? And you say, I want it. I believe that God wants me to have it. I'm going to beg God to give it to me. And I'm not talking about a two-minute prayer. The average person in this building has no concept of getting on your face and actually putting time in prayer. So I really want it. Hey, I really do want my kids in the Christian school. Okay. How much time have you spent on your knees, Dad? You say you really want it? How locked in are you? I want it. It's right. And I'm going to lock in on prayer. And I'm going to beg God. Boy, you're not really locked in, are you? You'd like to say you're locked in. That's what we like. We like everyone to say, well, right there's a flint-faced Christian. We'd like to be complimented for being solid and strong. But we're going to pay the price? Your prayer life. How about your desire to be used of the Holy Spirit of God? How much you want it? How really locked into it are you? How about being separate from the world? People say, hi, I want to clean up my life and I want to separate from the world so I can have a decent Christian life. How locked in on that are you? You decide, that's what I'm going to do. I am going to separate from the world. With God's help, I'm going to do it. That's it. That's what I've decided. That I'm going to live for God. I am going to clean up my life. I'm going to promise you something. You show me a Christian that has decided they are going to clean up their life. God is going to help them clean up their life. Now, I've dealt with people over and over and over again. There are people, you are far educated beyond your desired character to perform. You know what you ought to do. And God's not holding you back. It's your inner drive.
Right.
You have not yet said, that's it. I mean it. I'm doing it. If I fall, I'm going to get right back up and I'm going to try again. I will not be moved. I'm not going to be stopped. I'll work at this until I get it. I will go to my grave trying to get this done. You want it that bad? Jesus said, I will go to my grave getting this done. Getting what done? Oh, just dying for all mankind. Then resurrecting from that very same grave. He had a pretty big job ahead of him. You say, Brother Owens, you don't know how strong my vices are. You don't know how strong some of my yearnings are. Jesus said, I'm going to lock in. I'm going to set my face like a flint. Do you have any idea what he had to overcome? You say, oh, well, my habit is so controlling. Try the grave and see how powerful the grave is. Death is pretty powerful. One of the reasons why Jesus Christ could resurrect from the grave is because before death, he said, I'm locking in. Hey, you think that after he died, do you think that the struggle was over? Oh, no. The struggle had just begun. He died, and now, you see, what he was locked in on was not just the death. It was not just the burial. He had to lock in on a resurrection too, my friend. You say, oh, the power, you don't know how overwhelmed and how controlled I feel by my weaknesses. You've not died yet and needed to get up out of the grave on your own accord. But he said this. He said, I'm going to lock in, and I'm going to do this. And they beat him, and they tortured him, and they killed him, and they put him in a grave, and he kept on going, and he kept on going, and he kept on going. Some probably said, well, you know, I guess he's done. He said, I'm not done yet. I got to get up out of this grave. How are you going to do it? I'm locked in. I've decided I'm going to do this for God, and I'm going to do it. And he did. He did. You have a desire to be separate from the world, lock in on it. Lock in on that and say, I'm not changing my mind. I'm going to do this. Hey, in your area of service to God, lock in on it. Decide you're going to do it. The will of God, lock in on that thing. Coming to the house of God, lock in on it. Living the Bible, lock in on it. Your prayer life, lock in on it. Surrendering to the Holy Spirit, lock in on that thing. Separate from the world. Whatever it is that you need, whatever it is that you want to accomplish, you need to decide if it's the will of God and it's right to do. I see it out there. I am going to set my face like a flint. And no matter what comes, I'm going to keep on going. I'm going to get there. And I'm going to guess, eventually, you'll get there. Oh, but we're weak-kneed, cowardly, we're soft. Oh, keep your heart soft. Some of you need to toughen up your chin. I'm locking in. I'm going to get this done for God. You know, we need some parents that will teach their kids how to be flint-faced. Not quit on God. Not give up on God. I love the passage of Scripture. The Old Testament said, therefore have I set my face like a flint. And I know that I shall not be ashamed. You know what Jesus is saying? It may be rough getting to where I'm going, but I'm going to get there. And I won't be ashamed in the end. In the New Testament, said, and he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem. I am so glad that Doug taught me that song. I am determined. I've made up my mind. I'll serve the Lord. I am determined. I've made up my mind. I'll serve the Lord. I'll follow wherever He leadeth. I'll pasture wherever He feedeth. For I am determined. I've made up my mind. I'll serve the Lord. You say, is that arrogant? No, just determination. Probably that separates the winners from the losers. One thing. Determination. Determination. Flint-faced Christians. If it's worth doing, it's worth doing. Lock into it. Let's get her done. It's worth it for God. Let's bow our heads. Let's close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed. If you're here today and you've never trusted Christ, the sermon primarily to the Christian today. There are some here, though, you've never trusted Christ. Jesus Christ died for you, was buried for you, and was resurrected for you. He was determined to make heaven available to you free of charge, and it is. If you've never trusted Christ, that means you're not on your way to heaven. We invite you to trust Him today. In just a matter of a moment, what's going to happen is the instrumentalist will begin to play, the choir will begin to sing, we'll stand. And if you're not saved, why don't you leave your seat, walk toward the front. There'll be men standing at the end of each aisle down front waiting to receive you. If you've never trusted Christ as Savior, leave your seat, walk toward the front, walk up to one of these men and say, I need to be born again. In a matter of a couple of minutes, we'll take a Bible and show you how you can be born again. Everything that Jesus went through, He went through it so you would be saved. It doesn't cost you a thing. It's free. Don't let anything stop you You say, that's what I need to do. Then don't let anything stop you from getting saved. Become flint-faced right now about getting saved this morning. Somebody here, you need to say, I've been to this point before in a church service, and I chickened out. I said, I'll do it another time. Hey, don't let it stop you today. You come forward. There are some Christians in this building. You need to become flint-faced about a couple of things. Somebody, you need to leave your seat, come down here, get on your face and say, God, that's it. Not arrogantly, not full of pride, but I'm coming today and I'm going to lock in. I'm going to set my face like a flint toward a couple things and I'm going to get them accomplished for you, God, slowly but surely. I want to lock my chin in toward the will of God. I want to ask the instrumentalist to begin to play at this time. Let's stand to our feet with our heads.